how many of you have gone to school? I know most of us are from Warwick County, but I'm pretty sure that about all of us have gone to school. Who's in school still right now? And the rest of you apparently have dropped out at an early age. Okay, we'll talk about that later. There are a lot of sources that try to spread the truth, and I think of learning institutions as one of those. I think of news broadcasts as another one. Hospitals, podcasts. How many of you listen to podcasts occasionally? Maybe have some that y'all listen to, right? It's kind of a growing trend, you know. And journalists, whether newspapers, magazines, journals in some form. Churches, even. We want to spread the truth. YouTube, Facebook. What's something else you can think of that folks use to try to spread the truth? Can you think of anything? Have I missed anything? I'm sure I have. Each other. There we go. All right. What we got? TikTok. Newsletters. All right, cool. Leaflet campaign. There we go. Radio. Thank you. How did I miss that one? I was trying to get the big obvious. Hey, I guess it goes to show you I don't listen to a whole lot of radio, right? Otherwise, that one would have come out. Tracks. Leaflet, pamphlets, tracks. Kind of maybe in the same category there. Yeah. So sometimes you may have seen, I know I have, there are competing, you can have competing sources who claim to be revealing the truth, right? So you can see this on some of the, I just picked some of the big ones that we're probably well aware of, and one of those, news sources. So I just picked a couple that tend to maybe battle against each other, right? So like Fox News and CNN, and yeah, one says, breaking news, and here it is, right? It tells one side of a story, and then you can go to the other, and they're telling the same breaking news, but yet you hear two different angles about the stories, and both are claiming that it's true, and so you're going, well, which one is actually the truth, right? One of the big ones in school, evolution versus creationism, right? You know that one, you know, it's one side saying that, you know, the Big Bang and Charles Darwin and the evolving of life and almost if you would, natural order. And the other one is creationism, which says that there is divine guidance over creation and it has been intelligently designed by God. So you have two different sides, both claiming that it's the truth. One or the other is a hot topic now. There's multiple, but one of them is abortion. And so the argument about when is the actual conception of life, is it actually in the womb or is it not till the child is born? And so at what point then is it valid to consider an abortion to be an ethical act versus not? And so you get two different sides claiming that this is the truth from a medical, from a philosophical perspective, from a theological perspective, and then you'll get others doing the same thing, right? And they'll come at the same argument from two different sides to say, this is what the truth is. And each one's version of, or their view of the truth comes from their own worldview, the way they see the world around them. And what that means is that the way you see the world around you is based on your experiences. It's based on your upbringing, your family of origin. It's based on philosophies that you have embraced over time. Maybe they were taught to you. Maybe you heard it and you liked it and you said, I can resonate with that. And so you kind of started to build the way you saw the world around you on that particular philosophy. It could be, you know, also based on a set of values that you hold to be true. Long-term agendas, subscribers, which sounds kind of funny, but it's actually true. It could be faith. I want to give you an illustration of this about subscribers, just to illustrate the point. Anyone ever heard of the term fake news? right? Was that not the buzzword, you know, a few years ago and so on? Well, in our modern culture, I imagine most people thought that was a new term. But reality, it's not. It actually goes back to the late 1600s. And there's another account because what happened was a newspaper told a story, but they lied about the story. And so they got called out on it. And they claimed to say, well, that was fake news. And so that terminology has stuck in the world of journalism since then. And so it kind of became heightened not too long ago in our own culture. It said that in 1836, there was a newspaper, and I don't know which one, but the newspaper implicated that the man who'd been accused of a particular crime, they implicated him with that crime. Well, then another newspaper reported the same crime, but they turned it, and they described the accused as the victim of an intricate conspiracy. Boy, that... So wait a minute, are you talking about now? Or are you talking about in the... Okay, it's in the past. There's nothing new under the sun, right? Scripture tells us. Anywho, so both newspapers looked at the same story, the same crime, I should say, and they had entirely different interpretations based on what they thought, watch this, listen to this, what they thought their readers wanted to hear. They shaped the truth based on what they thought their readers, their audience, their market, their niche, who bought their paper, what they wanted to hear. What would appeal to my audience? What would get me more subscribers? The whole idea reminds me of the old the telephone game? What was it, the old game, right, where you started here, and so Gary has a sentence, and so he tells it to Milton, and then Milton gets up, and he tells it to Zach, and Zach gets up and goes over, and again, and again, and again, right? And we get about 10 people down the line, and finally it comes to Paul, right? And it started as the chicken went across the road. And by the time it ends up, it's Mary had a little lamb. And you're going, what? If you ever played that game, I remember playing that game, and it was like you could tell when somebody was being mischievous with it, because you just see that grin on their face, and you knew something was a-changing. And by the time it got to you, you go, well, this is what I heard, but I'm not sure it's truly what started. I want to ask you, what voice do you listen to? What voice do you learn from? What voice do you let influence your decision making? Husbands, listen to me. You have almost perfect wives. I'm not done. When that almost perfect wife falls a little short of that perfection, and it gets under your skin, what do you let influence how you respond to that irritation? You don't need to answer, please. It's probably in your best interest today. You just, in your head, think that. What do you let influence your decision making? What voice do you listen to? I could have fun with that, but I'm just going to let that dog lie, as they say. And I want to jump into the Bible. I want to go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And I thought this was the best image I could find of this. Luke chapter 9 is the story of the Transfiguration. Some of you maybe have heard of this. It's in that story, you'll see that these characters here, you have Peter and James and John are invited by Jesus to go on a mountaintop and to pray with him. Could you imagine Jesus asking you, hey, would you come and pray with me? I'd be a little intimidated. Well, I know I ain't going to pray as good as you do, Jesus, but yeah, I'll go with you, right? I'll be happy to do that. So they go, and Jesus is praying. And I don't know if he's praying silently or he's praying out loud, but he's praying. And when he's praying, in Luke chapter 9, it says to us that his clothes and his face changed to be this bright white like lightning. How pure is that image? Pure white, right? So when that happened, they also began to, right after that, see Moses and Elijah appearing and talking with Jesus. And so you have Jesus at the top in the middle, and you have Elijah and Moses there talking with him. Who knows if that is exactly what it looked like, right? But it helps us to get the point. And then this happened. I want to read Luke 9:33. I want to start there, and I want to read through verse 35. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, I want to invite you to do that. I don't have it on the screen for us today. Or you can just listen to me. Probably if you're on Facebook with us this morning, probably don't want to go away, because then you might. I don't want you to lose the broadcast, if you will, and not be with us. But in Luke 9:33, here's how Luke writes the story. He says, as the men were leaving Jesus, talking about, right, Moses and Elijah, because they didn't stay, but there they see them, and it says, as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Hey, let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I like what Luke says next. It's kind of a commentary. He did not know what he was saying. That is one of the oddest things I have ever read in the Bible. Verse 34. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And Lord, bless the reading of your word. This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. A little bit of cultural understanding for those guys, Peter, James, and John, and really even Jesus, but mostly for them. So, you know, when they grew up, they were used to hearing the priests and the scribes, maybe not the scribes quite as much, but the priests and the Pharisees, even the Sadducees, teach, interpret, define, enforce what God's word, the scriptures, truly said. In other words, what was the truth? And then the synagogue, at the temple, out and about, whenever they felt like they needed to, you know, correct something or take a teaching moment. I mean, they were doing this. They'd be in small groups and doing this as well. These guys were helping the Jewish people learn their faith and how to live it out. This was their job. And then over the years, they're doing this for years, and what happened is that the number of the rules that they had come up with to try to, you know, just make it apply to every little aspect of life, it just kind of it grew, and it's so overwhelming, it was cumbersome. We might say that they got lost in the trees and missed the forest. They lost sight of what the big picture was from the law. Love God, love people. In fact, ever since the beginning, which in fact is what the word Genesis means, the beginning, ever since the beginning, creation, that's been God's intent. So love God, enjoy his presence and his creation with him and each other, and love people, right? I mean, promote the well-being, cultivate good for other people. This was God's design, but along the way, people have listened to voices. If you look at the words on the screen, do any of those voices sound familiar to you? You ever heard those voices in your head? Those thoughts surface, tempted to give in to them? Well, there's some others we could put up there too, but I just kept it simple with four of them. The result of these voices has been sin, destruction, despair, death, disaster. You and I, more than likely, when you hear me use those descriptions, like disaster and death, we probably are thinking about things from the past of news and choices, bad decisions that maybe we've made, or you might be thinking about history that you know. These guys have their own history. And I want to encourage us when we read a story such as this, that we don't forget that these guys knew their own sin. They knew destruction in their own context, in their own culture. They knew what it was like to be robbed, to have blessings taken away from them, to know that God had said, I'm going to bless you and give you these things, and to have some outside force just come in and just strip it away from you. Without regard for how you think about it or how you feel about it or whether you even care or not. They could care less about the predicament or the spot it puts you in. Don't care. Now, even as I talk about that, I'd imagine you may have some memories in your head that might start to replay for you. You and I sit in a very similar spot as Peter, James, and John. I don't mean at the mountain. I just mean in life. So where did God point Peter and ultimately James and John? Because he knows what they're going. He knows the life they've been living. He knows all those temptations and influences and the destruction and the despair and the doubts and the heartaches. He knows every single one of them. I heard my people when they cried to the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. He heard them. To the sheep that wandered off by itself and left the 99 over here, Jesus said, I saw the one. I didn't miss it. You may not have liked that one and was glad that one wasn't around anymore, but I love that one. And I didn't always like what they did either, but because I love, I go. Well, that's a whole sermon right there. Because I love, I go. That's a free one, I guess. I don't know. I hadn't planned on that. So where does God direct Peter, to come back to the question I asked? And it's quite simple, and I'm sure you caught it. He points them to Jesus. And he points them to, as John calls him, the Logos, which means the truth of God, the absolute, unchanging, eternal truth that is unequivocally comparable to anything else. It cannot be reshaped and redefined. Do you hear me? It cannot, because if it is, then it is not truth. It is unchanging, as the God who gave it to us. He is the Logos. He is the very one who was at creation, the only one who could say, let there be light, the only one that could speak and existence comes to be. I can't even fathom the scope of that. That God can do that. That God can say, walk, and the lame walk. That God can say, tumor be gone, and the tumor is gone. That God can break a fever and heal a sick child, and it happens. That we can be at our wits' end and about to slap the something out of somebody else, and the Spirit of God just brings peace. and says, that's not my way. Inhale grace for a moment and just exhale worship and relax in the midst of your anger so that in your anger you do not sin. John says, this is the same one who, though he was right at creation and was responsible for creation, for John chapter 1, John says that, you know, everything that was created through him. There's nothing that was created that wasn't created through him. And it's a way of saying the same thing and kind of flipping it around. But John puts Jesus right there at creation, and John is saying, look, Jesus is right with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so when you think of God, you need to think Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For all three were present and at work at creation. That same one, in verse 14, John says, he took on flesh and dwelt among us. He walked the earth. He went up on a mountain and he spoke with who? Moses and Elijah. You know, Moses and Elijah had been dead for a long time. He didn't message them and say, hey, dude, what y'all up to? Let's go up to the mountaintop and let's just hang and chat for a little bit. And it's going to be a super cool experience, I promise you. No, man, like they've been dead for a long time. And they miraculously show up and they talk about what was to come, what was to happen in Jerusalem. And God says, with all of this backdrop and all of this truth right there in the midst of that moment, he says, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. It's like God the Father, check this out, telling them, when Jesus teaches you, it's me teaching you. When he corrects you, that's me correcting you. If he rebukes you because you are in sin, that's me rebuking you. And as he's training you in righteousness day after day, that's me training you in righteousness so that you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work that I have planned in advance for you to accomplish. When you see him, you see me. And when you hear him, you hear me. So God says, listen, listen to him. What is that word in yellow? Can we say that together? Listen. One more time. Listen. I'm listening to you. That word is listen. I got to thinking about this word and how we use that word today. Parents, have you ever spoke to your child or to a grandkid or to a nephew or a niece or somebody at your, you know, trying to teach or have a moment with, and you go, are you listening to what I'm telling you? Something of that nature, right? Listen. Stop what you're doing and listen. I know you hear me, but are you listening? Did you listen to that podcast that came out the other day? Did you listen to what the news said? Did you listen to what pastor said today? When we use that word listen today in our culture, it usually has something to do with, hey, did you hear that? And do you have some sort of response to that? You know, did you hear that podcast today or that news? You know, we ask that, and with that comes a little like, so what'd you think about it? You know, it's like, did you just process it, and like, how did it sit with you, and that kind of stuff? And it's usually like conversational. When God tells them, listen to him, the word that gets translated, I don't care about the Greek, it's important, but the point is, the word Luke uses gets translated to listen, okay? The Greek word for that has a different nuance than the way we tend to think of listen. Because that word that Luke chose means to hear it and to respond with obedience. Wait a second. Then why didn't he just say that? I don't know. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't interpret. They didn't ask my opinion. So what if we take that definition and we plop it into that verse and reread that. Let's do that. This is my son whom I have chosen. Hear and respond with perfect obedience to him. Woo! That sits, to me, that sits a little different than just, would you listen to him? He is a smart cookie. It's a whole lot deeper than that. And I love that. I get us to laugh, and you may know that I picked up on this by now, not because I want to minimize the significance of it, but because I realize that when we hear something like that, it can't help but remind us of our own need for help, of grace, every day. And that truly to live is not it's not easy to be conscious and intentionally aware about not wanting to sin during the day. It can be easy to get caught up in your day and in your emotions and what has happened in your day and what somebody has said to you and how you emotionally have responded to that because how you have in your head thought about what was said or done to you. And then out of it comes what? Fight. We sin against our brother or sister because of how we feel. God would say, that's not the life I created you to live. Listen to Jesus. He teaches a different lifestyle. He teaches a life of grace and mercy, a life of forgiveness, a life of patience, a life of long suffering. I didn't hear any amens on that one. He teaches a life of self-control. He teaches a life of gentleness. He teaches a life of faithfulness, of joy and peace, goodness. That's the life he teaches. So to listen to Jesus, which I'll be the first one to admit right alongside you, is not as easy as the words sound, right? I can't do that on my own strength. I need God to help me do that. And I also need to put myself in positions, places, where I am better suited to hear God to me. If I spend my whole day wrapped up in conversations with other people, which we have to do some, right? If I spend it so much on my phone, scrolling, listening, watching. If every free moment that I get, I didn't bring it with me. I see it all the time. And I get tempted to do this too. What do we do? What's the tent? Oh my goodness, go somewhere and people are waiting. What do you see them doing a lot? Give me your phone for a second. Please. That sounded kind of rude. Thank you, brother. Man. Your tank could run over this thing, dude, and it's not going to break. I probably need this. I got time to kill. Pull that thing out of my pocket. Let's see what's happening. I'm just kidding. I don't even have it on. Let me kill some time. I'm waiting on the kids. Let me kill some time. I'm sitting down. I'm tired. Let me kill some time. I just want to zone out from what's around me. Let me just kill some time. Are you amazing how much time you can kill with these things? I'm not saying it's bad. Don't hear me. How you use it is what we talk about. You know what I'm saying? Hey, bro. Okay, I'll keep it. I mean, I'll just hold on to it. I'm not going to keep it. All right, fine. I'm not trying to bash on that. I just want that. That is reality for us. I see it from old to young. what if we had a different pattern about how we spend our free moments? And so I would encourage us to consider some options. One, I know it's going to surprise you, but prayer. You don't always have to talk in that prayer. Just sit quietly. Just let your body just relax. Just let your mind just decompress. Because you get so much told to you all day long from all sorts of places. There's so much stimulant in the world, right? Just breathe. Just slow down. And fight the urge to, if you can, just sit there. Just chill. Perhaps you could sit in silent reflection. Think about God. Maybe take, how many of you like to take a walk? Take a quiet walk, right? No agenda. Just go take a walk. And just observe around you the hand of God. Pray what? It's the third week in a row I've brought this up. It just keeps coming back. God, guard and guide my words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts, because I know that those things tend to influence how I act. And I want to act in a way that shows that I've been listening to you. Protect my heart and my head so that amidst all the voices vying for my attention, I'm going to be able to sort through and pick out what is God's word. There it is. Read the Bible. Can I encourage you, don't read your Bible to check off a list for your day. If that is the main reason you read your Bible, because you feel guilty that if I don't read it today, God is not going to like me as much, just stop doing that. It is not true. God is not going to love you more because you read your Bible every single day. It has nothing to do with it. God will love you because you are made in the image of God. Read your Bible, all right? I know that was kind of harsh, wasn't it? At least I didn't pound the pulpit, I suppose. Slowly read it. Don't be in a race. Just chill. And you say, all I can do is just like 5 minutes. That's fantastic. In 5 minutes, you get through one verse. Do you realize that the God of truth can speak to you through one verse more in one day than what you could get out of a whole chapter on your own without even paying deep attention to what you're reading? You say, but it's just five words in one sentence. Do you think God cares how many words it is? He is the living word. The word has come from him. He can speak beyond that to you, to what you need to hear from him today, so that even though you're down, you look up. And even though you're weak, now you're stronger. And even though you're confused and you're like, I don't know, I have all these thoughts in my head. And you go, I hear you, Lord. I'm just going to breathe. And I'm just going to wait for a moment. I'm going to count to 10. Because if I don't, Lord, you probably know what's going to come. But I'm going to wait. And maybe all you have time for is one verse. But I'm telling you, if you say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, before you read that one verse, I'm telling you now, it's all about the posture of your heart. Study the Bible with other Christians if you can. Okay? If you've got folks that maybe you can be in a small group with, or you work with, that you can do a little Bible study with, or something of that nature, family, maybe a neighbor, so on, whatever, but study the Word of God. Try to find a way to do that with other people. God speaks wisdom through the wise counsel of others. He really does. There's a reason that verse is in the Scripture, and we ought to listen to others who can do that for us and be humble to go, okay, I don't know everything like I thought I did, and so I'm open to listening to understand. Listen to understand, don't listen so that you can just be understood by somebody else. In the The last one I've got here is this. It's, you know, keep your eyes and your ears open to what Jesus may be inviting you to do with him. Sometimes it may not be, I hear God saying this. Sometimes you may see an opportunity and go, that looks like that's got God's handprint all over that. I need to join him in what he's doing. Any experiencing God fans, you remember that? Join God in the work that he's doing. Keep your eyes and your ears. Be observant. Can I tell you part of my story? I've told part of this some time ago. When my family and I were at, this is my experience with this, right? Sort of a testimony from me. So when my family, we were at our previous church, we were getting to a point where we were feeling like this season might be coming to an end, but we don't know. And we had learned that just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's the fact of what God wants you to act upon. I thought I'd get another amen on that. But faith is not driven by feelings. Know how we feel, but faith's not driven by our feelings. So anyways, as that was starting to happen, we had been learning that you need to do something with that, you need to respond to that. And so how do we respond? And so we decided that we would take a retreat. And so we went to St. Meinrad, not too far, just up the road from here. We went there, just Leslie and myself, and we spent a couple days there, mostly just in quietness, reflection, reading the Bible, prayer. Before we even started, we agreed and said, this is how we're going to spend these 2 days. This is not a chit-chat thing. This is not a go and take a tour of, you know, the seminary, that kind of stuff. This is what we're going to do. And we're just going to trust, because we don't know what else to do, that through that time, if that's what we've agreed to do and we feel like God wants us to do, that he's going to speak to us what he wants, what he desires, and we're going to have to trust that at the end of that process, it's going to come together. And whatever it is, whether we like it or not, we've got to move forward with it. And we were both on, and we said, okay, that's what we're going to do. So that's what we did. And I love talking to her. But it wasn't small talk time. We spent time doing what we said we would do. Well, we got to the end of our weekend. Talk about being a little anxious. So what did you feel God spoke to you as you were listening? What did you take in? And I shouldn't be amazed, but I was, that when we started talking, that the Lord was so good to align us up just perfectly, that we both agreed this is the time span that we need to give before we make a decision on what we need to do. And we said we felt it was 1 year. And so it was going to be that next November. What you got to understand is it had been a rough season. So to say we're going to give it a whole another 12 months, it felt like a big ask. Do I want to go through that for another 12 months? Right? Like, I don't know if I can do this. So okay. We both knew that at the end of that 12 months, that God was going to make it abundantly clear. And we didn't know what that was going to look like, but somehow God was going to bring that about. And we both knew that something was going to come. So we knew the same decision coming out of that time listening to God of how we needed to handle that. We knew the time frame in which we needed to give it. We were both in agreement. And we knew how we needed to understand that season. It wasn't to be a season where you just sit on the sideline, right, and you just wait, and you just sit, and you say, God, okay, I'm going to wait out of bounds, if you will, right? And then when that 12 months is up, then I'll step in and I'll be like, God, come on, let's do what you want to do. It was, you've got to engage and do what I've called you to do for 12 months. And as you do that, you listen, and I'll make clear to you what I need you to do. All right, so I gotta play the game. It's more than a game. Euphemism. There's a lot of details I don't tell you about that, and I purposefully do that because you don't need to know all of that. But I want to share it with you because when you feel like you face an insurmountable wall, and it's like you're not hearing from God, He's still there. And He still knows. And He still has plans for you. He will speak. He asked that you listen. And we were blessed that it took 2 days. And I would imagine there are some who say, I've been listening for weeks and months and I still don't feel like I'm hearing anything. And I can only imagine. But the Lord has said, I will speak. Your job is to listen. It's to be still. And know that I'm God. And to know that even though you're uncomfortable waiting, I'm still working for your good because I know you love me. And you might feel like it's falling apart all around you and you have nothing else to give. But that's you. I'm not you. God says, I'm God. I know what the lilies of the field need. I can feed the sparrow. I can take care of all that. And yet you are more prized than they. Don't ever think that I can't take care of you. He just doesn't promise to tell you the when. And I know that's the hard part. Because we really want to know the when. Inquiring minds want to know. Some of you don't know what that phrase is from. Ask somebody who's a bit older after service today, okay? So I keep learning that when you listen to Jesus, there are going to be other voices with competing views about what you should do and how you should handle and all that kind of stuff. And those voices are happy to influence what you should believe and what you should do. And yet faith is choosing to listen to Jesus amidst all those voices and sort out the noise from the still small voice of God. And I keep learning that Christ's counsel will not always lead you into comfortable waters. Putting His word into practice will not always make you super popular in the world's view. If you're a people pleaser, that's hard. Nonetheless, God knows that Christ dwells in us through our salvation. And He's saying to us, like He said to Peter and James and John, this is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to Him. Learn from Him. Be influenced by Him. Let His words be life to you, for they will save you. Amen. Listen to Jesus. Let's stand. Father, thank you for these words and this long-winded preacher. I ask that you would bless our minds and our hearts with the words we hear today, that we'll be encouraged to listen to Jesus, put ourselves in those places and spots where we are more able and more apt to just relax and listen to that still small voice speaking truth into our hearts and our minds. And I ask that you would help us to be patient as we wait upon that voice, to have perseverance and endurance, which you promise you can give to us. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would provide that along the way every single day. May you be blessed and glorified as we listen to Jesus with our lives. Amen.